Blog Talk Radio.
Tuned in to Home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. I hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Let you, let us exalt the wonderful name of Jesus together. On today, we have a glorious lesson for you on today, and we're going to be talking about the miracle in the storm, the miracle in the storm. And so I want you to grab your Bibles and come right on in and make yourself right at home as we get ready to forge forward in this wonderful lesson on today. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that you are going to be tremendously, tremendously blessed on today. Call somebody and tell them, join in on today, because there's a blessing through the live Rhema word of God that's being spoken on today. So today we want to look at our lesson text that's going to be taken from Matthew chapter number 14, verses 22 through verse 33. And I want you to just go ahead and turn with me there. And again, we're going to be talking in reference to the miracle in the storm. And the scripture text reads on this line, and straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to go into a ship and to go before him on to the other side, while he went and sent his disciples away. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Psalm 107 and 29. He maketh the storms a calm, so that the waves there are a still. And our thought is Jesus walked on things that caused us and that will cause us to fear. But our Lord and Savior, he had the capacity to calm every storm and every wind and every sea in your life that may perhaps that are taking place even right now. Jesus is able to calm your sea. Now let's take a look here as we move forward. It said this lesson is really appropriate for really basically for everybody and things of us who have need of a miracle in the midst of a storm. Now we recognize that life is much like the ocean in that it's seldom is calm. As quickly as the winds of the storm subdue, the horizon dances with the clouds of another one approaching. Just as Jesus was the key to the disciple security on the sea that fateful night, he is our miracle in the storms of our lives. Now, in this lesson, we're going to look at how Jesus' disciples fought for their life against the contrary winds and waves of the violent storm. And obviously, they were afraid and thought that they were going to perish. But Jesus spoke to them out of the midst of the storm and told them not to fear. We also will study Peter's famous walk on the water. He was the only one in the boat who was willing to leave his safety to get closer to Jesus. While some people may only remember Peter sinking, we should focus on his walking. Now, interestingly, the Bible records both the successes and the failures of its characters. We will further explore the purpose and benefit of the storms in our lives, because we must recognize these storms do have a benefit in our life in spite of what we feel. They are benefiting us for our good, and we must recognize that all things, as the scripture said, all things work together for our good according to them that love the Lord and call even according to his purpose. And so we thank God for his goodness and his greatness for his people and what he's doing in and through the lives of his people. Father, we ask, oh God, as we further explore the word of the Lord, we know that God is doing it in your life. I don't care what it looked like. I don't care how the waves are coming up against you or the things that are taking place in your life. God got you in control. He has it all in control. Just trust him. Now, let's look further. We're going to study how Peter's famous walk when he was on the water and how he was sinking. We're going to also look at some of the difficulties that we are facing even in our lives and understanding how that these difficult times of life can work to bolster our trust and in the Lord our God. And when things in our life go away, we learn more about God and ourselves. Really difficult and defeat causes us to study our approach to life, while it sees and victory only causes us to bask thoughtlessly in self-contentment. Now, hopefully, this lesson will also teach us how God can bring peace in the midst of our storm. Even if he chooses not to quiet the wind, he will reassure us and give us patience to endure the storm and survive. Now, we are confident that whether we are witnessing a miracle or we are struggling in the storm, Jesus is with us. Oh, my God. Isn't that something? That's awesome to know that Jesus is with us in the midst of all of our storm. He can increase the bread, and he can also decrease the wind. Indeed, the Master is able to make adjustments in our lives to bring comfort and safety to our soul. Either way he chooses, we will witness a miracle in the midst of the storm. Oh, my God, child of God, child of God, God is going to bless you. Now, let's look sent into the storm. Let's take a look and examine what was taking place in this particular scripture text and get a better understanding of what was going on. These disciples were sent into the storm. Now, let's take a look at this over in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And it said, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitude away." Now, why would Jesus would be the question, the theological question. Why would Jesus send his disciple into a storm? Why would Jesus allow you to go through a storm and send you into a storm? Let's get a greater understanding. Jesus had just multiplied the 5 loaves and 2 fishes to feed his hungry multitude. Now it was time for the vast crowd to disappear. According to Matthew, it was already evening before Jesus fed the massive crowd of people, Matthew 14 and 15. After the miraculous feeding, it was even later, and the Bible simply declared, he sent the multitudes away, Matthew 14 and 23. Although we all enjoyed the rush of the miraculous, we must face the reality of good things coming to an end. The last service of the revival ends. The camp meeting, it had to close. Youth camp had to finish. The conference that we have sometime go to, they have to conclude. And everyone returned back to their home, and even church service, it ends, and we have to go back to our home. Sometimes these times test our own spiritual strength and to see what we actually are made of. What is our response will be when all of our friends and church family have departed and we're left alone. We should keep in mind God's promise that he stated in his word, that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that's where you'll find that over in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Now, faithfulness simply means that we keep doing what we are supposed to do regardless of our situation. Now, let's take a moment and stop and park here for just a moment and unpack that and look at the theological implication for our lives as the children of God. Because what happens is many times is when we get alone. Now, we're strong when we're standing with our sisters and brothers. We're strong when we're standing even in the house of the Lord, declaring and decreeing what thus said the Lord. But it's when we're standing alone and nobody is there to encourage us. Nobody is there to say, go ahead, be encouraged, or I got you, or we're standing in agreement, and I'm standing in agreement. It's when I'm there by myself. Or when the child of God is there by themselves, what are they doing? How would you stand when family is gone and no one is there standing by you, and the waves are coming up against your spiritual soul, that this discouragement is coming in? What will you do, child of God? And this is what we want to say, is being faithful, even when no one else is there, being faithful regardless of your situation, being faithful to God, being faithful to Christian education, being faithful to Sunday school, being faithful to the things of God. Now, let's look further. Is that even when God had sent them, Jesus had sent them into the storm, he was testing them. Will they be faithful even in the midst of the storm and they don't see him? Perhaps preventure. He was preparing their lives for what was going to come when he was going to leave them and be no more with them physically in the physical realm. And so we must recognize, children of God, that when we're not among each other in the physical realm, God is still yet going to be faithful unto us. Now let's look saved from the crowd. Now, as much as we love and respect people, we all have times when we feel the need to get away. Crowds are worrisome, especially if one is ministering to them. Now, Jeremiah proclaimed, oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. Jeremiah 9 and 2. As it was not wrong for Jesus to desire some time alone, neither was it wrong for his disciples to desire a time of occasional separation from the crowd. Now, if Jeremiah and Jesus had need for time alone, how much more we need to spend time away sometime from the crowd? Now, why can crowd be bad? There are several reasons. Crowds influence. When we see everyone doing something, we feel pressured to conform to whatever they are doing. Crowds sometimes can intimidate. Invariably, when there is a crowd, there are always those who are outspoken against anyone trying to do what is right. The strength that we feel when we are alone can be weakened when we are around others who may have the wrong kind of influence on us. And so we must recognize and begin to think in our own lives, who having a lot of influence on us or an individual that's causing you to go even in the wrong direction or making the wrong decision. You must recognize that that crowd or that group of people perhaps have an influence on your life, and perhaps you may need to separate yourself. Like the scripture say, come out from among thee, be ye separated, touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. Sometimes we individual want to hold on to the things that God is saying, let go. And so God's not receiving you because you're not letting go of the things that God is saying, you know, come out and be separate, touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you. And so we must recognize that there are times that we must separate and things and even not touch the unclean things. Oh, Rama Shandiriyasha. We must recognize that and understand that. Now, the strength that we feel when we are alone can be weakened, okay, when we're in the wrong crowd. Every victorious child of God knows the value of time spent alone with Jesus. It is good to pray in groups. It's good to be in a powerful prayer meeting, but nothing can replace the time spent in prayer alone. Now, Jesus emphasized this to his disciples. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And so we must recognize that come from Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 6. That is a biblical principle for the children of God, of praying in our secret place. Now, some literally goes into a closet and close the door. And also some may preadventure have a place in which they have closed out everything and begin to pray. So that secret place sometimes does not necessarily denote that I have to go inside a closet and close the door. And yes, some do, and there's nothing wrong with that. But closing out everything and closing out the external noises and different things, maybe cutting off the television and closing, saying, this is my quiet time. I'm closing everything. I'm closing the door to everything else so that I can get before God and pray unto him. And so, although the Apostle John did not choose to be exiled on the Isle of Patmos, he received the glorious revelation of Jesus Christ called the Book of Revelation while he was there alone. He never would have received these insights in the midst of a maddening crowd. Certainly, we receive wonderful things from the Lord while meditating and praying alone. We receive wonderful things from him. Now, let's look again, sent into the storm again. Let's take a look at that a little further. Now, when Jesus commanded his disciples to get into the ship and to go wait for him on the other side, he knew that they would encounter a storm. There are at least two possible reasons Jesus sent the disciples into the storm. One, knowing that they would face the storm, he may have wanted to test their faith and teach them an important lesson. Two, although he knew the storm would come across their path, he did not alter either the storm's path or the schedule of the disciple, letting the factor of time and chance happen. He knew that regardless of the circumstances, he would keep them from harm while they were in the storm. There was time when Jesus sent us into storms of our own life. And at other time, he allowed us to go through the storm of life, just happened to be in our path. Either case, he knew we would face the turbulence, but he also knows that the storm was created a special classroom where we can learn many valuable lessons. And so when you look at that thing that you have gone through, what lesson is Jesus teaching you in the midst of that? And extract or take away from that life storm the principle, the lesson, the valuable jewel that you obtain through the midst of that storm, and take that away and begin to recognize that you just learned a valuable lesson. It is not that he wants us to suffer, but he does desire that we learn and grow spiritually from these experiences. Just as defeat often teaches us more than victory, storms can teach us more than tranquility. We always learn more about God's life and ourselves when things are not going well. the preacher declare, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. You'll find that over in Ecclesiastes 7:14. When things go well, we enjoy them and reflect less. But when things go badly, it causes much reflection. Now, we should also remember the most of what happened in life is not directly from the hand of God either or Satan. It is simply life. And now, Ecclesiastes 9:11 state, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet wisdom riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor of men of skill, but time and chance happens to them all. You'll find that over in Ecclesiastes 9:11. Does God know what happened to an individual? Absolutely, yes, he does. Jesus knew the disciple would encounter a storm that day. Most importantly, he cared for us, whether what happened to us happened by chance or by choice. He knew the disciple were going into a storm, and he could have altered it before the disciple encountered it. But he chose instead to still the wind and waves after they had experienced it. Now, such as that, let's take a look further. How they seen in the storm, they seen something. God revealed unto them something right there in the midst of the storm. Let's take a look. It's the scripture said, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. Matthew number 14, verse 26. Now, we must recognize that as the disciples were on the ship about to become victim of a vicious storm, they saw Jesus in the midst of the sea. If they had known who it was, they would not have been so frightened. However, they thought that they had seen a ghost until he revealed himself, Matthew 14:27. Therefore, Jesus comforted his disciples, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. You'll see that over in Matthew chapter 14, verse 27. Now, sometime in the midst of our storm, Jesus is trying to reveal himself to us and trying to get us to see him and see who he is and understand even his love for us, even in the midst of that storm. So he's opening our eyes so that we can see closer and get a greater understanding that he's going to be there in the sixth trouble and the seventh trouble. In no wise will he forsake us. We must recognize that that's what the scripture has said and the word of God has said. Now, Jesus is in every storm of life that anyone experiences. Since he is omnipresent, we should always remember that he is present in our storm. We should not feel alone or frightened when the storms arise. We may not be able to see him, but he is always there. Too many people mistakenly think of Jesus' place as being only in the church. It is true that it is in the church, but he's also everywhere else. Remembering this while in the midst of our storm will help us to discover him and progressively learn more about him. Now let's look further. As we look further into the word of the Lord, faith in the storm, even though he sent us into the storm, God's going to keep you right in the midst. Now let's take a look. Jesus walked in the storm. Now perhaps the Christian greatest challenge is to trust in the Lord. We may know all the scripture revealing his ability to simply supply our needs and care for us, but we somehow find them difficult to believe in the midst of trying circumstances. Ideally, our circumstances should have nothing to do with us trusting the Lord, for he is faithful that promise. Hebrews 10, verses 23, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. And let's take a look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse 13. There have no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Now let's look further. When we are in God's hand, he provides us with a shield from the storm around us. He becomes our stellar in the storm. God asked Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil?" Job 1 and 8. Satan responded, "Does Job fear God for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hand, and his substance is increased in the land." Job 1, 9 through 10. Thank God, for we have a hedge around about us, that God has literally placed a hedge around about you. Now let's look further. Jesus walked on the water, Nahum 1 and 10. The Lord had his way in the whirlwind and in the storm and in the cloud are the dust of his feet. That's Nahum 1 and 3. Now, the floor covering is the business, big business, because people are discriminating about their feet walking on. If it was carpet, some want a soft, thick plow so their feet can sink into the softness. Now, others prefer a tighter, short plow, giving them a firm surface to their feet. We have all walked on rough, rocky surfaces that were not only difficult to walk on, but also uncomfortable. However, God can walk on anything. Now, miraculously, Jesus received enough support from the surface of the sea that it enabled him to walk where normally no one could. Even the phenomena of the surface tension is inadequate to support the weight of the person on water. Molecules that allow the double-edged razor blade to float as long as the surface is not penetrated were ordered that day to hold hands and support the Creator. Now, this should encourage everyone going through a stormy experience. God will give us support we need to succeed where we normally would have failed. The molecules of our troubled surface will hold hands and support us, enabling us to walk when otherwise we could not even stand up. Now, Jesus walking on the water teaches us many lessons, one of us, which is that through Christ, it is impossible to receive support from what is normally insufficient to support us. For an example, putting Christ first with our lives, our finances, enable God to support us with what previously would not have been able to be sufficient. Now, further, if Jesus walked where it was impossible to walk, can we walk? With his divine assistant, he is able to allow us to walk onto places and in places where we otherwise would not walk. But putting our trust and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, he himself will do it. The prophet Isaiah declared, "When thou passest through the water, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." You'll find that over in Isaiah 43 and 2. Now, part of this verse was demonstrated as true in Daniel 3, where the three Hebrew were cast into the fiery furnace for not bowing to the king's image. The Bible states, "The princes and governors and captains and kings and counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither was their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them." We'll find that over in Daniel chapter number 3 and verse 27. Now, Jesus and Peter walked on the water. Matthew chapter 14, verse 28 and 29 say, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if thou bid me to come unto thee on the water, and he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." when Peter saw and asked Jesus to allow him to walk towards him, Jesus replied simply, "Come." We should carefully compliment Peter for his faith. For at the invitation of Jesus, he stepped across the gunwale and onto the sea. And if he had no faith, he would have stepped into the sea. Although most Bible readers remember Peter sinking, and perhaps we should instead focus on the fact that he did walk on water. Now, let's take your time and examine that. Because a lot of time we emphasize the fact that he was failing. But only reason he failed because he took his eyes off of Jesus. And so it gives us a profound lesson and a profound understanding that as long as we keep our minds and our eyes on Jesus and taking our eyes off of man, taking our eyes off of our mistake, taking our eyes off of our past, and don't even let people take you back to your past, or don't even let people bring up your past and things, and keeping your eyes on Jesus, because everybody have a past. Everybody has some type of failure and things, because everybody needs Jesus and need God to help us. Wherever we find ourselves at, we need the Lord Jesus Christ. We all in this thing together. Now, what he did, he kept his eyes on the Lord, and he did walk on the water. But when the waves and when the boisterous wind began to come, that is when Peter took his eyes off of the Lord. When Peter began to notice the stormy and powerful waves, he began to sink. So we do when we stop focusing even on Jesus. Now, the author of the book of Hebrews wrote, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, Hebrews 12:2. Jesus inspired Peter's faith to step out on the boat, but Peter should have kept focusing on him to finish that faith. The Lord not only gives us faith to start, but he also provides us with the faith to finish the race and to finish the task or finish the assignment or finish the purpose or call that Jesus had in our life. Now, when Peter began sinking, he frantically cried out to Jesus, "Lord, save me." And Jesus immediately stretched forth and reached towards him and picked him up out of the stormy waves with a mild reprimand. "O thou of little faith, wherefore thou didst doubt?" Peter, Matthew chapter number 14:31. When Peter lost his focus on Jesus, he lost his support, and the water held him as long as he focused his faith towards Jesus. Now let's examine that for just a moment and contextualize that to the relevancy of our faith even right now and things as our theological experience with God. We must recognize that Peter lost his focus on Jesus. And what happened? When he lost his focus on Jesus, he also lost his support. And so we as children of God, in order to maintain our support, which comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we must keep our focus on Jesus. Now, the water even held him as long as he stayed and remained his focus. And so that thing is able to hold you up. Long as you maintain your focus on Jesus, he will keep you. Now, the next verse declared, "And when they were come into the ship," this revealed that when Jesus stretched forth his hand and called him, Peter again walked on the water. However, this time he walked with Jesus. It is always easier to walk on or in difficult places when we know that we are walking with him. Many people never walk on water because they never venture out of the boat. Leaving the boat represents leaving our comfort zone. Some people do venture out of the boat, but they plunge into the water on the opposite side of Jesus and attempt to walk in their own direction. Now, when they begin sinking, Jesus is nowhere around to reach them because they went in the wrong direction away from him. Now, those who step out of the boat get closer to Jesus often are criticized by those who stay in the boat. but those who in the boat never have a chance to reach their potential in God. Further, it is not risky to leave the boat if you are leaving to move more closer to Him. Critics may say that we're going off the deep end, but the deep water is only on the other side of the boat, away from Him. Now, we should note that only one disciple left the boat to go to Jesus. The majority stayed where they knew where it was safer. Thus, to always follow the majority robs us of the opportunity of getting closer to Jesus. You see Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 through 14. It said, "Enter ye in straightway at the straight gate, for wide is the gate that and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, but many there which go in therein, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there are be there that find it." That's Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 through verse 14. Now, safe in the boat. It is not difficult to chart Peter's up and down in our lesson text. While he was in the boat, he experienced fear. While on the water, he also experienced faith. Unnoticing the wind, he again experienced fear. When Jesus rescued him, he was encouraged and again experienced faith. Perhaps the pattern of wavering is too typical of a disciple of the Lord. However, it is a normal aspect of human element. Now, in his letter to the Romans, Paul used the phrase from faith to faith. Romans chapter 1, verses 17. Now, this seemed to be a brief explanation of our cycle pattern, typical pattern of our measure of believing. Now, we must recognize that everyone has been given a measure of faith, and you'll find that over in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 3. But that measure of faith may be stronger at some time than others. Now, when we begin to look at and begin to see that there are times in our lives in which we can find that our life is going to be stronger and things of our faith will be stronger, and sometimes it may not be quite as strong, but when we use that faith, and if you stepped out and things, and you find yourself as though you're sinking, did you take your eyes off of Jesus? Did you take your eyes off of your support, the one who bid you to come out there? And did you begin to invite other people to help you and support you and things, as opposed to going back to Jesus and saying, "God, I need you," and things, and continue following in and behind our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? And so we, as children of God, we must continue to follow after Jesus, keeping our minds on Him. When He bid you to come and bidded you to come out of the boat, and you asked of Him to bid you to come, and you stepped out, keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your focus on Jesus. Keep your focus on Jesus. Now, we must recognize that when we suffer doubt and witnessing sinking spell like Peter did, it is always comforting to arrive back in the boat at Jesus' side. At the end of our lifetime of experiences on the sea of life, we will find ourselves at Jesus' side, safely in the ship. Now, we must remember that when patient in hospital or straight line, they are not living anymore. And so we must recognize that as we go back and things, and recognize and keeping our faith alive and our faith in Jesus Christ of Nazareth as we work together doing the work and the will of the Lord. Now, let's look at the cause of the calm and the calming of the sea. When they were coming to the ship, the sea ceased and the wind ceased. Now, the Creator was the cause of the calm. And as He spoke the word, "Peace, be still," the wind ceased and there was a great calm. Matthew, Mark 4 and 39. His very presence calmed the storm on the lake that day, Although Peter and Matthew did not record the presence of others on the Sea of Galilee that day, it is possible that the others may have enjoyed the benefit of Jesus' command to the storm. Likewise, others around us, even in the workplace, even in our home, and even in our social circles, and even in our churches, they benefit by the work of the giver of peace in our life. And people benefit from you being even in their presence, who God has calmed the seas and the storm, yet peace begin to spill out on others and things because you have been before the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we must recognize that not only does the very presence of Jesus calm the seas of the storms of our lives, but his stepping into our ship also create a calm for all to enjoy. No storm can continue when Jesus, the Prince of Peace, reveals himself to us in the storm. Even the wild winds have to lie down at his command. Now, how many testimonies we have heard where storms resulting from sin was abated when we surrendered his life to Jesus Christ and received his Holy Spirit. Now, many churches have different things are in their lives or in their churches whose life has been thoroughly changed by Jesus. And we can all attest to the fact that our lives have been changed by Jesus. And he has calmed seas. He has given deliverance. He has brought transformation into our lives. And after they have been baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the Holy Ghost, it is wonderful to bear their testimonies of what God has done to calm the storms in our lives and restore our lives. We all have experienced restoration where God has restored us and God has brought back to us that which has been destroyed in our life and redeemed. And so we can say that we have experienced a redemption and restoration in our lives of what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ have done in our lives. And child of God, be thou encouraged and be thou strengthened, because the Lord our God, he's on your side, and all he needs to do is for you to keep your focus and your trust in him. Now, because of the worship, then they were in the ship and came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Matthew 14:33. What caused the disciple to worship the Lord? Was it the miracle that they had just witnessed? If they had needed a miracle to inspire their worship, they would have just witnessed the feeding of the multitude, which a lad had their lunch before embarking on the boat trip. It seemed that Matthew was describing the cycle of the human faith, that the disciple had seen the proof of Jesus' deity at his feeding of the multitude. Yet here they were frightened by a presumed ghost appearing in the midst of the storm. Now, after his performance of another miracle, they declare, of a truth, thou art the Son of God, Matthew 14:33. Perhaps the phase of a truth indicates some previous doubt in the disciple mind. Although some people seem to need a miracle to excite their response in worship, we should mature spiritually to the place where we can just worship him spontaneous, whether we've seen a miracle or not. We should have a heart to worship the Lord because the Bible commands us to do so, and we should worship the Lord simply because he's worthy of our worship. Now, the psalmist proclaimed, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, Psalm 150:6. Even if there is no precipitated miracle, we should praise him. Even when there is no one present to urge us to worship him, we should still yet have a genuine worship that comes from the deep soul of our love for our Savior and our Lord. And that it will be just a spontaneous love down in our spirit to worship him and to love him and to give him the praise and glory that's due unto his wonderful name. And so I come to tell you today that there is a miracle in your storm. and to look for the miracle. And even in the midst of that miracle, in the midst of that storm, look for Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your heart focused on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As he that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. The same God that did it yesterday is the same God that's able to do it today. The same God that made the way out of no way is the same God that's going to make a way out of no way on and in and through your life, because he is just that type of God. He's a loving God. He's the everlasting Father, and he is the Prince of Peace, and he shall and he will do it in and through your life. Now, in conclusion, we must study how Jesus sent. And we had just studied how Jesus sent his disciples into the boat on the other side of Galilee, and how immediately after he was feeding the hungry multitude. And we recognized that Jesus knew that there would be a storm. And however he foreknowledge through his foreknowledge of the storm did not keep him from sending his disciple into the midst. And he demonstrated that he was able to protect and to provide for his own no matter what the circumstances were of life and that life brought. And so I say in conclusion, even that storm that you have went into and gone into, you must recognize that God is able to protect. He's able to provide no matter what the circumstances is that's rushing up at the doors of your soul. He is still able. Now, the storm that arose frightened the disciples. And when they saw Jesus walk on the water, they thought that he was seeing a ghost, and they believed that they were soon to perish. And when they cried out, Jesus revealed himself to them as he walked upon the water. Now, the very thing that had been giving them much fear, this somewhat had quieted them from trembling, and that they began to see how that this raging storm would begin to cease. And how that Peter, who asked God to Jesus to bid him to come upon the water, received the invitation. Now, many of you have received the invitation, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, to come to a higher level, to move forward in a new direction and things. Don't keep your eyes on the circumstances and the situation because things seem like they're going awry and going just out of hand. Look back unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, and begin to ask Jesus, God, lead me, Jesus, guide me, Jesus, direct my path. And watch Jesus lead, guide, and direct your path into all truth, because you're calling on him and you're seeking him, and your faith is not in your circumstances. Your faith is not in people. Your faith is not in your resources, but your faith is in Jesus, who is the creator of all things. Oh, and watch him work things out according to his plan and purpose for your life. And as Peter, what he did, Peter stepped out of the boat, and he did fine until he took his eyes off of Jesus, which we should tell us that the key to our faith is keeping our eyes on him. And after Jesus and Peter were in the boat, the calm came over the troubled sea, and the disciple began to worship Jesus. However, we should mature spiritually to a point where we should always worship him during the storm. And by doing so, we have an opportunity to enjoy the miracle in the midst of a raging storm. So I come to tell you in my conclusion, child of God, that in the midst of that raging storm, there is a miracle. I don't care how it looks, and I don't even care how it feels, but I want you to recognize, to lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lifted up, ye everlasting door, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. So lift up your heads, child of God. Watch God. He that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. I come to tell you, God is not going to tarry on your behalf. But he that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. God is going to do it for you. God is going to work this thing out. He's going to make a way out of no way, because that's the type of God that we serve. He's able to do all things but fail, and we give him praise, and we give him glory. So be encouraged is my prayer to you today, and that you will hold fast in the midst of that storm and know that Jesus is on your side. Father, we come right now in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, recognizing that you are the righteous Savior and the Holy One of Israel. And God, you can do all things but fail. And we thank you for this session, and we thank you for this time. And we ask, oh God, that you bless your people and continue to strengthen and keep them in and through and by your power divine. No matter what storm come in their life, God, I pray that they keep their mind stayed on you, who will keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Now, Father, we thank you because you are the everlasting Father, and you are the Prince of Peace, and you're the great I am that I am. And we say thank you because we put our trust and our confidence in you. And Father, we thank you because you alone is worthy of the praise. Father, this is our prayer. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. And so, child of God, remember, if you don't have it, God got it. And you, yes, you are one miracle away from your question, away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. So, child of God, go back and knock again. Keep seeking and keep asking, because the miracle is in that question. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be. May God bless you and strengthen you is my prayer. And until we meet again, be sure to share this lesson with someone and encourage someone to tune in, because if you're being blessed, why not and share this blessing with someone else. So encourage someone to tune in with Home, Helen R., Ministry of Empowerment, and we look forward to seeing you at our next session. May God bless you and strengthen you is our prayer. Bye-bye.